Extreme Vocabulary is not your typical Word of the Day podcast. We don't just define words, we contextualize them in terms of their history, etymology, politics, and aesthetics. In other words, we look at the culture behind words. Today, I'm here with Efren.
Hey, what's up?
Abe.
Vocabularium extremus.
And Aaron.
A pleasure, as always.
I don't know why it's so pleasurable for you, but...
Yeah, it's a pleasure to podcast. Why not? And to have people here on location at the Rook's Nest, by the way.
Oh, that's right. We're changing locations today. Audio files, you may notice a different resonant frequency in the walls and a different sound profile.
How many audio files are really listening to Extreme Vocabulary? We'd like to know, so if you can send us comments or questions, please do so.
Yeah, we've moved on up in the world. We're now have a studio with a pool and liquor. Mm-hmm. And it just goes to show you that when you have a dream and you have a podcast, people think, this is serious. People think you can't make any money off podcasts, but I think we are proving that wrong. And so all four of you out there who are listening, we thank you.
Yeah, for your donations.
Next year, five at least.
And if you donate to Extreme Vocabulary, maybe you get to choose the next word that we do. But today's word is...
Cultus.
What?
Cthulhu.
What?
Oh, it's cult.
Okay. Cult. Cool. Cult's right. A cool word.
Is cult a cool word?
I think it's an interesting word. One of the things that intrigued me about this word is it seems like it's connected to culture. But it's got the negative connotation where culture has a positive.
So you chose the word, right? That was you?
I might have, yeah.
Okay.
I might have.
Yeah, so we have to talk about gardening as religion.
Whoa.
Or farming as religion. Yeah, okay. So cult, the word cult is, first of all, a noun. And as I said earlier, it comes from the Latin cultus. So that Latin word means care or labor. It refers to cultivation, and yeah, it does refer to culture because we think of culture as something that you need to cultivate, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the gardening metaphor, right? If you like plant, farm, you organize the growth of nature is kind of what we're talking about, right? You organize the growth of nature, and so that leads to civilization, right? So like the beginnings of civilization is gardening or farming. Mm. And then, you know, you move on from there. So that's the basis.
Do you think culture is cultivated or controlled? Or do you think it naturally arises?
It's probably both. Mm. I mean, again, you have to organize nature to garden.
Right.
And then it sort of does its own thing, too, at the same time. And then, you know, as long as you can create enough food for people, you know, then people can stop worrying about eating and focus on other things. Like making gadgets or whatever, or building stuff.
Oh, or making big, juicy heads of wheat.
So without cultivation, there is no culture?
That's right.
Interesting.
Okay, so there's...
There is no coffee cake without...
Enjoy that, by the way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, okay, cultivation, culture. But then we also get to another meaning that was in the Latin word cultus, which is worship and reverence. But ultimately, its original meaning has to do with tending the farm or the garden and with cultivating. And it is, cultus is the past participle of colere, which means to till. Again, so we're still talking about, you know, planting a seed and growing it and putting some kind of control over our food resources, right? Because that's what gardening is all about. It's providing ourselves food and not just relying on, you know, purely nature.
Does the worship and reverence meaning have to do with, like, agricultural deities or something like that?
Right. So, yeah, because, you know, when we talk about a lot of these older religions, we're usually talking about, you know, gardening deities. I don't know, like the
Gaia.
Huh?
Gaia. Oh, Gaia, sorry.
Yeah, so we're talking about, you know, the sun god, the moon god. We're talking about the god of rain. We're talking about the god of the crops, you know, or the god of grapes, which is also the same as the god of wine. You know? So, yeah, I mean, a lot of those older deities are, like, all about gardening. So, yeah. So that's the link right there. And that's why I said at the beginning, you know, that we have to talk about gardening as a religion. So, there you go. Anyway, so I guess I'll say a few more things. So from the Latin, it moves into the French cult in the 17th century, and then it moves into the English also in the 17th century, and we get, I think in English, it loses a lot of the other meanings and becomes specifically about worship or homage or systems of worship or, you know, devotions to persons or things.
So with culture, you need cultivation to have culture. But if you over-cultivate culture, do you now get a cult?
Yeah, how does that get corrupted, right? I mean, so the meaning of cult that you're referring to, you know, where you have like some, I don't know how to describe, some religious extremist group, you know, that has like antisocial behaviors or ideas, right? That's what you're talking about by cult, right? So I think that's, from what I researched, that's like a really new way of using that word, and it's a very specific way of using it. And I think it has to do with the rise of these cults, the infamous cults, like, well, I think Aaron knows about all of this, right? What are the infamous cults again? Some of them?
Jim Jones, Jonestown?
Yeah, Jim Jones.
Jonestown, that's what it is.
Yeah.
But I don't know as much about that as somebody else here does.
Well, there's the Jim Jones, which is an interesting cult, right? Because he preyed on people who were desperate, like economically, and people who were sort of lost, which I don't know if that's something that's specifically just cults when it comes to organizations. But I think the other cult that was famous in recent years was Hale Bopp, Heaven's Gate, the Hale Bopp Comet.
Those are the sneaker people, right?
The Nike sneaker cult, yeah.
Okay, so those are all like recent examples, right? Like that were like mass media, like publicized, and I think that's when we get the beginning of the word cult, as you're using it. Like it's very specific, right? To talk about, again, like antisocial groups or something like that, right? But I kind of want to know more about the sneaker thing. Why were they called the sneaker cult?
Well, they all agreed. They thought that a comet was going to come and take them to heaven. But in order to do that, they would all have to, part of the cult was they all dressed in like these, they were Nike sneakers, and then they were full,
sweatsuits, jumpsuits.
Body, like what do they call them? Those Adidas tracksuits.
Tracksuits. Like the monsters wear.
Yeah.
Were they also Nike tracksuits?
Possibly.
I don't know. They might have been Adidas.
That part sounds fun.
Was Heaven's Gate sponsored by Nike?
I was just going to say that's the ultimate like promotion right there. Everyone, get your name out there.
Yeah. So they all committed suicide, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the Jonestown was they drank the poison Kool-Aid, right?
Yeah. Which is where we get the, that's where we get the phrase, yeah, right? Don't drink the Kool-Aid.
It's actually Flavor-Aid. If you're curious.
Oh, you mean in the, yeah, they actually drank Flavor-Aid.
Somebody did research.
Yeah, no, I actually.
Somebody cracked open a book.
Or listened to a podcast. Well, so these are modern examples, but we do have older examples of extreme religious groups, right, that were antisocial, like the Quakers or the Shakers.
The Quakers were awesome, though. I don't.
But everybody likes the Quakers, I think.
We wouldn't have Quaker oatmeal, come on.
I thought you were going to say the Catholic Church or something.
They need a new PR person. Bad.
Well, actually, what they need to do is, like, fire all the priests that are committing pedophilia. So,
they need to
They're not doing it, you know, so it's getting them in trouble. Yeah.
And now it's all, you know, and then we had the movie Spotlight, and then still this is going on, and now it's finally coming to a head, at least in Pennsylvania it is.
Yeah.
But there's something in cult-like behavior that allows these things to continue, right? Where, like, the sort of organization as a whole, its strength is considered more important than any of the individuals, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what happens. The Catholic Church is too big to fail, right? It's too important for its other whatever, according to some people. And that's just sort of a macrocosm of, like, all cult-like behavior, right?
Mm-hmm. And a byproduct of our culture, as we're noticing over and over again with every story that comes out, is make it go away. That's what they all want, these big entities. Just make it go away. It never happened. They don't want to acknowledge it.
Well, we'd be remiss not to mention probably the most famous cult and most powerful cult in the United States. Does anyone know what I'm talking about?
Capitalism?
No. I'm not that predictable and rote. I'm not that rote. And no, they've had documentaries about it on HBO. They've had a lot of celebrities are part of it.
Oh. Yeah, okay, I got it.
As soon as you say celebrities,
I know, I had to.
Scientology.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. But that's when you know a good cult, when some people wouldn't even think of them as a cult. And if you're like Scientology and you buy up all the websites that are supposed to warn people about cults, which they've done, right? They buy the Cult Awareness Network is owned by Scientology. Right on the internet. So that's when you know you have a good cult, is when you're not even considered a cult.
Well, because they're good at managing the definition, right?
Right.
Mm. Okay.
Sounds like in a plot that can apply to a lot of different situations and episodes going on.
You know how else you know that Scientology is a good cult is that we should be nervous. Right now that we're talking shit about them because they will come after us with lawyers.
They're going to come after us, right?
Yeah. It's right. It's all under Josh's name anyway.
Yeah, come on. Extreme vocabulary. Come at us, bro.
Yeah, my real name is Brahms anyway. It's not really Abe.
I think it would only be good publicity for us. Scientology sues podcast.
We might move from like 5 to 10 listeners. 100% growth.
Isn't that 200%? Yeah.
You're right. No, wait.
Because it's twice. It's twice.
Except for the
200%.
5 to 10 is 100% growth,
no? It's 100% growth, but it's 200%
overall. Of what we had.
Yeah. It's 100 plus 100.
And that's why, folks, we are not math majors. And I also want to call attention to our listeners to the fact that somebody's wearing sunglasses, even though we're indoors. And 5 minutes ago, two people were wearing sunglasses, even though we're indoors, which I thought was interesting.
You know what's...
put them back on.
Yeah, what's truly interesting is when a cult leader gets to break the rules, and they'll just tell you that there's a special reason they get to break the rules that nobody else gets to. And Scientology is a pretty strong cult, but I think it's too big to have as much fun as you're supposed to have in a cult. You know, a smaller cult with more direct contact to like a leader who actually claims to be the reincarnation of...
usually it's Christ, yeah.
Some messiah or other.
Yeah, or just the mouthpiece of God or something like that. They get away with some crazy stuff with their congregation. Particularly. Well, yeah, obviously Jim Jones got everybody to kill themselves.
Well, you know how he did it, right? I mean, they had rehearsals.
Oh, yeah.
They had like mass suicide rehearsals. It's like, let's practice drinking this Kool-Aid. And it doesn't have poison right now, but just pretend like it does, and this is what's going to happen. So he conditioned them into
it. Did they put vodka with the Kool-Aid in the beginning for the practice sessions?
No, I don't know. I don't even know if it was Kool-Aid. What was it? Was it really flavored or something?
Flavory, which I don't even think they make Flavor-Aid anymore, do they?
Oh, it's around.
It was sponsored by Flavor-Aid.
In some places in the South, it's probably still floating around with Mountain Dew and Tab.
So I got two little conspiracy tidbits for people who are interested in cults to look up on their own. And one is to look up whether there's a connection between O.J. Simpson's Mother and the cult, Jim Jones's cult, and secondly, research whether Jim Jones was on the CIA payroll. There you go.
Well, the other thing I think that's interesting, and you don't have to do too much research for this, is that a lot of these cults did start off as sort of utopian movements, right? They wanted to retreat from civilization exactly because they wanted to get back to like a basic kind of life, right? In other words, gardening, right? Mm-hmm. And farming. And, you know, we could take care of each other if we just like all work together, and, you know, we can stay away from all of society's problems and all that. And, you know, but little by little, it just became corrupted, right? Because the leader took up too much authority for himself and made exclusions for his behavior, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's a problem once they start saying like, oh yeah, I'm married to all the women.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Once they say something like that,
and it always leads there. It's always some dude
who's mm-hmm. like, I'm married to all the women. It doesn't matter how old they are. It doesn't matter if they're married. I am spiritually married to all of them.
Talking about David Koresh, right?
Yeah.
That's another one, the Waco incident. Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, that's, like, one of the things they do. But, yeah, it's like Josh said, they make exclusions for themselves, right? Like, the rules don't apply to them. Mm. They apply to everybody else in the organization.
A cult is, like, a super manufactured culture to sort of benefit a few people, I guess.
Right. It makes me think, though, about... It makes me think about earlier gardening religions, as I'm calling them.
Yeah.
You know, or harvest religions. I don't know what you want to call them. You know, I think the original purpose of all of those, again, was to just feed each other, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if we have... We're just having, like, this mass celebration, right? Because we are harvesting all this food, and everybody's going to get to eat, and we're just going to have a big party, essentially, right? And everybody's going to eat, everybody's going to be full, and we're going to be happy, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's really what it was about, you know? But then it starts adding other things to it, right? And then it becomes about something else. Like, we become dissociated from the mere act of gardening, and it becomes about, like, the sun god or something like that.
Yeah. You know? We always want to worship. Whenever things are going well, we want to start worshiping something.
Or bad, I guess. But, I guess that makes sense to say, like, I'm so full right now, I want to be grateful to someone or something.
Interesting. All right, well, we'll be right back with literature, so stick around. On each episode of Extreme Vocabulary, we feature a piece of literature that uses today's word. Pretty consistently, the bringer of that literature has been Efren. Efren, just want to thank you. Dream alive.
It only takes me 7 to 8 hours per word to find the right one.
Oh, that's good.
Which is nothing. It's.
Well, yeah, based on how much we get paid, I mean...
It's the least I could do.
It's probably a capital crime.
I'm trying to put my kids through college, and I don't even have kids. That's how much we get paid. Today, I'm very happy that I have a quote from what I think is one of the most underrated, underappreciated, and underread novels in American letters. I think this novel's... excellent. It should be made into a movie, but it probably never will. And that is Charles W. Chestnut's The Marrow of Tradition from 1901. It's a novel about a sort of a coup that white supremacists try to implement against a town that has newly elected African-American politicians. And in this particular quote that I'm going to read, we'll find the use of the word cult and you know, I think we associate it as a newer word, something that's come into the limelight in the past maybe 40 or 50 years. But this novel is from 1901, and we see that it's being used in a very similar way to the way we use it today in the present day, with also some extra layers of kind of conspiracy and et cetera. So in this scene, Captain McBain, who's of lower standing but is a really kind of brutal racist, is trying to figure out how to kind of ingratiate himself into the elite of the town in order to sort of raise his social standing. And to do that, he's thinking of kind of befriending this young, wealthy socialite named Delamere. So let me read the quote and listen out for the use of the word occult. It comes early. And now I'm reading. The Clarendon Club was a historic institution, and its membership a social cult, the temple of which was located just off the main street of the city in a dignified old colonial mansion which had housed it for the nearly 100 years during which it had maintained its existence unbroken. There had grown up around it many traditions and special usages. Membership in the Clarendon was a sine qua non of high social standing and was conditional upon two of three things: birth, wealth, and breeding. Breeding was the prime essential, but, with rare exceptions, must be backed by either birth or money, right? So here the captain's sort of thinking about how he can get into the Clarendon Club, even though he does not have the breeding. So again, it was a historic institution, and its membership was a social cult.
Hmm. So he doesn't have the breeding. Breeding is a synonym for cultivation. Mm. He's not cultivated enough to belong to the cult.
Exactly. The one thing he is brutal and racist, which, according to the American history, is usually enough to get you into any social circle. Or even become president.
Yeah. So do you think he's using the word cult in the same way that we refer to Heaven's Gate or the Branch Davidians or the People's Temple, you know, like the Jim Jones, David Koresh? Is he using it that way? Or
I think yes and no, right? I think there is the implication that there is all these sort of traditions and practices and usages, right, which are sort of like limited to this group of initiated people, but probably not. The Clarendon Club is one of these elite rich people clubs. Mm-hmm. Even though maybe it's not exactly, I think it's similar in the sense that I think a lot of weird stuff goes on in either one. I don't know. What do you all think?
Aaron? What do you think?
I don't know what to think right now.
Is it cult as this kind of antisocial group? I don't know. I feel like he's just...
I feel kind of like I'm like a one-man cult now with my sunglasses.
That's what sunglasses are good for.
Yeah, it changes
the cult of personality there.
There we go.
Okay, so one of the things we didn't really bring up in this episode is the idea of a cult movie. And I didn't think we're going to bring it up here, but I think it kind of makes sense. There's this sense with a cult movie that there's extreme devotion to it, that understanding it is its own kind of challenge, maybe, or getting into it maybe has its own initiative quality to it. And then maybe you have to do something odd, like go to the movies in the middle of the night and dress up as one of the characters or something like that to really become a part of this cult society of the movie, I guess. Is that what they're kind of talking about?
Are you trying not to promote it?
There's a couple movies like that, though.
Yeah. So do you think that, like, people who watch Rocky Horror Picture Show are a bit antisocial toward everyone else who's not part of the group or something like that? Hmm.
No, actually, I don't think that they're antisocial. But
no, it's more of a slavish devotion. Like, they'll always be there. They'll always dress up. Well, at least the hardcore ones, right?
I think it's a... Being a fan of a cult movie is, like, the nicest possible way you can be, where you're not actually pushing anybody away. You just raise the standards for yourself, you know? And then so other people may have a hard time meeting you where you are. It's only because of their lack of energy or devotion to it, you know? Whereas with this society, it sounds like there is a certain energy around what they're doing, but also putting up even more literal walls, I guess, around what they're doing. Whatever they're doing.
So do you guys... Are you guys into any cult movies? Like...
Isn't there... Is this a thing, the cult of John Hughes films, right?
Oh, that's a... That's interesting because they were so huge at the time.
Right, and
then... But now to go back to them...
Yeah, and there's like a group of like, you know, how many... 6 or 8 movies, right, that would fall into that category.
Yeah, that's like people who are upset when Twinkies stop being made. Or something like that. It's like the most mass-produced thing in the world.
And there's a worse example. McDonald's had one point during Mulan. They had they were promoting it.
The Szechuan sauce.
And then people went crazy for it, and they said they demanded it. And yeah, I don't know what happened.
You know what that was from? It was based on a Rick and Morty episode.
Oh,
where they go back in time and get Szechuan sauce or something like that. And then the Rick and Morty fans were so into that idea that they, like... bothered McDonald's into doing that.
Szechuan. But isn't there, I mean, would you all agree that there is something to cult movies that it's like, I always thought like there's something to them that we kind of are the ones that get this movie and the mainstream population doesn't.
Sure, that's how.
So there is something somewhat anti-social, like there is something of a twinge of anti-socialism, anti-social impulse in that, like, well, we get this. This is our sort of movie. The regular population didn't get it at the time.
Well, I think the best thing about Rocky Horror Picture Show is its content is hyper inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whatever fringe person you are in society, you're in this movie. Or even if you're just a dorky nerd, or even if you're a biker. So that's the nice thing about Rocky Horror Picture Show, and maybe something that makes something like a cultish following to Big Lebowski a little bit more problematic, only because it seems like the people in that movie, the friends, the only thing they seem to share is being white losers. I don't know.
Well, now. They bowl.
Yeah.
But common.
I think part of the Big Lebowski's cult status, though, was predicated on the fact that it was...
Judaism.
Well, it was critically and commercially a failure when it came out. And then it sort of... A small group of people thought it was great, and then it just that small group of people kept growing until...
Well, they were right.
Yeah.
I want to say that movie is very
until
good.
Even the critics kind of had to admit that maybe they were wrong at first viewing of it. So it's, it's...
Also, so again, another positive kind of way to have a cult. To reassess something that was undervalued.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that is what cult movies are, though, isn't it? It's like you can't... You wouldn't call Jurassic Park a cult movie, even if it went out of style for a little while.
Yeah, and all the sequels, like, nobody cares.
No, Jurassic Park was the largest box office movie in history when it came out, so I don't think...
It's kind of like the thing with the John Hughes movies or something, like, something, even that blockbuster can start to feel nostalgic and personal to somebody after a long period of time.
Right. Like Robert Downey Jr. holding a boombox over his head.
Well, that's John Cusack.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant. Come on, those two guys in John Hughes films, always. It's easy to get them mixed up.
I'm always going to like John Cusack more, even if he's a worse man.
Yeah, I agree with that. I liked him in Gross Point Blank. Did you watch that?
That's a cult film. That's a cult film.
I feel like that's
not as widely known as a cult film, though. I didn't know that.
I feel like that was almost made, engineered to be a cult film, in a way.
That's a good point. That's possible.
But I like it also.
But I think it's rare that a movie with those movie stars in it is not also made to try to make money and maybe kind of pivot once they realize nobody went to it. I don't know. Because, I mean, it has, like, Minnie Driver, right, and, like, John Cusack. And I don't think they would make a cult movie with those two, would they?
Wait, why not?
Because I think they needed that money to... I think they needed that movie to make money, and I don't think it did. But I could be wrong. I don't know. I think that's a cult movie, too. I don't know.
I like that movie so much, I bought the tape.
It's a fantastic... It's one of my favorites, really.
Yeah, so anyways, we have these inversions of, like, these hyper-devoted societies.
The cult of Oprah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's real deal.
Hmm.
It appears so benign. It doesn't even look like it's, you know.
Yeah, I kind of want to tell them to stop promoting her for president. Just stop.
Oh.
Yeah, I think that's her people doing that, right? Her fans.
How about the cult of the Kardashians? Would you call it a cult? Mm. Or is that too mainstream?
Is there a Kardashian cult?
I don't know.
It is a huge following.
Well, people follow their... Yeah. But I don't know if you call it a cult.
Isn't it more for their, like, shenanigans than anything else? It's just, like, to call them... Yeah.
But there are people...
Isn't that the reaction, like, why people want to know? It's like, oh...
No, some people really get into
it. I'm glad I don't behave that way.
You would think that, but if you actually see their social media, you know, one of the Kardashians will say, don't forget to love yourself today and to, you know, buy yourself a cupcake or something. And then their fans will come on and be like, this is such great piece of advice. Thank you, Kim. We love you. Like, it's
they gush.
Like that.
They gush.
Yeah, it's gush.
It's just like, oh my God, I'm talking to a celebrity. They could say anything, literally. They could say, I just crapped on the floor. Oh my God, Kim, you're the greatest, right? They'll do that.
We should all crap on the floor.
So this is a cult right here, right there. It's slavish devotion. They don't care what you say. They just like, oh my God, it's you.
I wonder if, like, internet technology makes cultish behavior more likely or more accessible.
Just wait.
You could just become somebody's follower, literally.
I wonder if the internet is a cult.
The whole internet.
Yeah, the whole internet.
Definitely conspiracy going.
I don't know. I just feel like we're always like bowing to our phones a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Like we're always kind of inclined.
Oh. To like wireless technology. Maybe. I mean, like, look at art. Look at this podcast. It has a strong cult following.
Oh, and it's just growing and growing.
Yeah, we are a tool of the devil here on Extreme Vocabulary.
I know some devils who think we're tools.
Vocabularum extremus.
And we'll be right back to choose the song. On each episode of Extreme Vocabulary, we choose a song to go out with. Usually, the song will relate to the word in some way. I don't have any good ideas for this. Let's see. Everybody's got something to hide except for me and my monkey. I think that's about the Maharishi, which I think is a cult. Or Sexy Sadie, I think is also about the Maharishi.
I sent two songs into the group text. Do you remember them?
I remember one of them is by the band The Cult.
She sells Sanctuary. But that's not in the title of the song, but then the band's name is The Cult.
What made you want to choose that song?
When I hear the word cult, one of the two things I think of is this song and then another song. So The Cult, and then, of course, the other one is by Living Colour, a British band.
Oh, Cult of Personality? Cult of
Personality. I like that one, but it's harder edge. The Cult is more of a ballad rock, not rock ballad rock. They're hard and they're kind of metalish, but not really.
What do you think their thinking was behind naming themselves that?
The
Cult.
I wouldn't know. I've never really been that into them.
Oh, okay, let's not choose them then.
Okay, yeah, then let's go with the Cult of Personality because it's in the title. Perfect.
That's a pretty good point.
And it, you know, coincides with what we've been talking about.
Well, what is the Cult of Personality?
Joseph Stalin, Gandhi.
Are they right? And, is that song about Joseph Stalin?
Not just him. Oh. It's about, you know, figures in history that had cult of personalities that developed around them.
Do you think In Living Color and other musicians also have a cult of personality?
In Living Color was a TV show.
Not
in the
In 90s.
Living Color for the U. What about it? Sorry.
Do you think musicians have to develop? Because I know that song, but I always thought it was about like a commentary on being a rock star or something.
It could be that and every other thing that is implied by the song and the lyrics.
Also, was the Maharishi a cult leader, and were the Beatles in a cult?
The Maharishi
I don't think so.
Was a yogi. Is yogiism a cult?
Mm. Is it? Why not, Efren?
I thought the Maharishi was a real spiritual leader. Like, I didn't think he was like a marginal, like...
Hmm.
He got mainstream play like no other, thanks to the Beatles.
Yeah, I don't know, though, enough to really make us... I know enough to say that I didn't think he's a cult leader, but I don't know. If he's a real yogi or whatever, then he's probably... He could be both. He could be shady and a real yogi, so...
But, yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess there was some disillusionment. John Lennon thought that the Maharishi was using his position a little bit.
Thought he was being played, huh?
Yeah. That's why it says, "Sexy Sadie, you made a fool of everyone."
Mm.
A fool.
Folks, you know you're a cult leader if John Lennon is calling you out on taking advantage of your position of celebrity or power. That's when you know you're a cult leader.
Mm. All right. Well...
What are we going with?
Well, I do want to like interject two other options. I don't think they're as good as the ones Aaron came up with, but the song Cult Hero by The Cure, which is ironic because it was an early demo before they even became famous. The other is by Anything by the greatest rock band of all time, Blue Oyster Cult.
Don't fear the Reaper. Where's the cult in there?
It's just in the
in the name of the Blue Oyster Cult, yeah. So no matter what we go with, people should listen to Cult Hero by The Cure, and they should listen to Anything by Blue Oyster Cult because they're fantastic.
First of all, this is a cool name, Blue Oyster Cult. It's like, are they worshiping a blue oyster? And if so, why? What does it mean? Are oysters blue? There are no blue oysters, huh?
I don't think so.
Hmm. Neat. So you're saying there's a demo by The Cure where they're talking about becoming a celebrity?
They're making fun of like kind of cult heroes. It's an early. I think it even predates. It predates any of their albums. I don't even know if you can find it anywhere. I mean, I sound like I'm some kind of hipstery cult fan that I know this, but yeah, if you look it up, it's called Cult Hero by The Cure.
That's interesting. Do you think? His name's Robert Smith, right?
Correct.
Then did try to develop a cult of personality?
I don't know if he tried, but he got it, right?
He's got devotees, yeah.
He's got a lot of devotees.
So he's like making fun of his future self.
Yeah.
Abe, what do you think?
I don't know nothing. I don't know.
You could, what do you think? What sounds more interesting to you out of the ones... Like, I don't know if you've heard these two songs. I'm thinking we should choose between Cult Hero and Cult of Personality.
Yeah, I've listened to Blue Oyster Cult. I like the music.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure that any of their songs necessarily have to do with the word.
Uh-huh.
But it's a super cool name.
Yeah.
Super I always cool. thought it was like this super like heavy metal name. Mm-hmm. And then when I finally got to listen to the band, it wasn't that.
It's kind of metal, though.
It is a little
metal. It is metal, but it's not like 80s metal or something like that, you know? Mm.
They were doing something different.
Yeah. It sounds a little bit more like hard rock to me, actually. But I think Cult of Personality is probably what we should go with.
Okay.
I'm for it.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Extreme Vocabulary. Our music is from Arnold Palmer Golf by Tokuhiko Uwabo. and Wagi on Paradise by Erika Imura. Email us at extremevocabulary@gmail.com. Send us questions, recommend words, all that good stuff. And find us on Twitter at Instagram at Extreme Vocab. This is Cult of Personality by Living Color. We will see you next time.
I do like drinking Arnold Palmer's. Personality.